Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Lights out.
I don't know where you're from.
Splash, splash, splash.
Around here, we respect that bell. Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means the Crunch Exchange is going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell me if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved in those stories. How's about we start with a story that's on the tip of everyone's tongue this week? That's right, the Wave. We all know it. You're sitting at a game. Some of your drunk friends decide it's a good idea to see if they can start something fun, get the whole crowd going in unison in something, anything, one of the greatest forms of human solidarity on the planet, shining example of how people can work together to attain a goal. Not if you ask Noah Syndergaard. Thor saying on Twitter after the Mets won the other night, "Very happy we won, but I want the name and address of the person who started the Wave tonight."
Yeah.
Hashtag ban the Wave. Hashtag resist the urge. Now, I know this is all fun and games, but many in the world share similar sentiments. I know I've never been a fan, and I'm pretty sure you, Steve, put the Wave in the same category as Journey, a band whose existence you would like to have wiped from human history.
It's offensive. It's offensive.
Wave seems to be a relic of a bygone era. It took form in the 80s after a guy named Crazy George Henderson started it on a televised game between the A's and Yankees in 1981. Husky fans, of course, claim they created it several weeks later. Typical Husky fans always trying to tout a shared national championship as their own. The prospectus, though. You buy or sell that the Wave should be banned from ballparks.
Can't be banned.
But should it be banned?
You know what? As criminally insane as I am when it comes to things like this, I would way rather take a stand for something more important. So while I look down my nose at people who do it and have had some very interesting conversations at games from Yankee Stadium to Autzen Stadium, I'm going to actually take a rare bite of rationale and sell that.
I am legitimately surprised by that. Here comes another story that is sure to make your heart happy. Tim Tebow back in the news this week because he had his baseball workout for scouts. Wore a cutoff shirt, ran some sprints, and mashed a couple of balls in BP. Pretty sure you or I could go out and do that right now, and nobody would put video cameras in our face after it. But you can't account for poor taste, I guess. The news to hit yesterday after Tebow's workout is that he has a brand new shiny deal with Adidas. Chances of Tebow ever making an MLB roster are none to none. So it appeared from day one that this was a publicity stunt, and now Tebow getting paid by a shoe company seems to have proved that right. But He didn't have to do this to get an endorsement deal. This is not a knock, but surely some Christian company of some kind would have paid him six figures to do something. But the prospectus, you buy or sell that Tim Tebow only started playing baseball to get endorsements.
Huh. That seems even cynical for me. I think he and his people are so deluded that if he begins with a goal and he works hard, he can definitely achieve it. They're insane, and they should all have their heads examined, but I don't think that was the sole goal. I'm going to sell that as well.
Like, is Team Tebow self-aware enough to be able to make that decision?
I'll have to think about that.
I know. One former Broncos QB to the current Broncos QB, not Mark Sanchez, not Paxton Lynch, but Trevor Siemian named the starting QB of the defending Super Bowl champions. If you don't know who the hell Trevor Siemian is, then you join a club of billions. An argument could be made that nobody outside the Broncos locker room knows who he is, and I would argue that even some of them don't. Siemian is a graduate of Northwestern. I don't think he's a theater major or anything, but I wouldn't put it past him. I have no idea. He played one game last season for Denver and has yet to attempt a pass in his career after being drafted in the seventh round of last year's draft. And that guy beat out Mark Sanchez, a guy who was famous for fumbling into a butt, but also leading the Jets to AFC championship games. And he also beat out the supposed incumbent, Paxton Lynch, who never who Denver drafted in the first round this year. So on paper, there is a total of one game experience difference between Lynch and Simeon, yet Gary Kubiak went with the Northwestern guy. As we learned last year, a QB for Denver can basically hand off and throw checkdowns for 16 games and still win a Super Bowl, so they don't really need a lot. So if that's the case, why not go with the future of your franchise, Lynch? The Respectus, Lynch, not Simeon, should be starting for Denver.
Well, first we have one question is, on planet Earth, have they sold more burgers under the Golden Arches, or do more people not know who Trevor Siemian is? Is it billions and billions in both cases?
Like, eventually they stopped putting up that sign, didn't they?
Right.
It was like, all right, we get it.
I got to tell you, though, I really trust Elway. So if he's making that call right now, coming off a Super Bowl and some of the rough decisions he's made there, I'm selling in support of Elway.
I mean, Gary Kubiak probably made the decision, though, right? I guess that's a good point. All right, Hope Solo announced yesterday that she has decided to quit on her pro team in Seattle after the U.S. Women's National Team ended her contract and suspended her. She is quoted as saying that her mind's not in the game and that her replacement is capable enough to handle the show for the team. Also this week, a video surfaced of Solo reacting to her contract being ended. It almost makes you feel bad for her because the reasoning is a little suspect, and she did, after all, play for our country for 17 years at the highest level anyone has ever played it. Then you remember she's Hope Solo and go back to hating her again. But in walking away from her pro team at the age of 35, this is leading some to believe that her playing career in general is over. So the Respectus, Hope Solo's international career is over. Now her career as a whole is over as well.
So she's going to be 36, yeah, right? You know, I think I'm going to buy that because I'm not sure where she would go from here, and she brings a lot of baggage. Let's make our first purchase.
Last one here has to do with Oregon football because we'd run out of the building if we didn't do at least one on them. The Ducks have UC Davis this week with a few question marks. Three freshmen at O-line, a brand new defense, unrest in the secondary after Chris Cisse left. Overall, six guys in starting spots who have never taken a snap in a live game for Oregon, but they still have Royce Freeman, still have a billion good receivers, still have a grad transfer quarterback, one of the best kickers in the nation. We'll find out how much of the doom and gloom surrounding the defense is fluff or not Saturday, but the betting line on oddsshark.com certainly doesn't reflect any skepticism. Has Oregon a 32.6-point favorite in the game. UC Davis provided Oregon with Mike Bellotti and Nick Galliotti, but they aren't exactly a FCS juggernaut. The Respectus, Oregon covers that 32.6 against the Aggies.
I tell you what, in any other year since about 08, they're 47-48. That's kind of telling. But I think, especially once the second half comes around and they start running roughshod, I'm going to make a purchase there. So buy it.